Blog Talk Radio.
The words we speak translate into feelings that express belief systems at the conscious and subconscious level. And what we speak is what we attract towards us.
We really aren't using our minds for the most positive results in our life.
Do you have a question or a comment that you'd like to make
about this? Well, this has to tie in with what the lady was just saying, as far as the way the children are raised and the environment that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a recovery program now, and it teaches us that we have a philosophy here that we are all born with potential and we are not victims of circumstance. And I believe that everybody has the will to change. You can't blame the way you were raised for things you do in life. You have to be able to decide right from wrong at one point in time.
You are listening to In the Spirit on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Shirley, also known as Tafwe. Tafwe means to appreciate God and to glorify God. Let's glorify God today on this episode of In the Spirit.
Thank you so much for joining In the Spirit today, this gorgeous Saturday, October 3rd, 2009. I am so excited about the show today. My co-host, Sandra Bouton, is joining us, as well as our special guest, Mr. Simon T. Bailey. If you haven't heard of him, you are in for a treat today. Mr. Bailey is an internationally known speaker, author, and consultant. He inspires individuals to take charge of and change and transform their lives from the inside out. He's considered a thought leader, and he is a fresh voice in the business world. He's joining us today. Good afternoon, Simon. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. And getting brilliant every day, more and more brilliant every day.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Sandra, how are you today?
I am blessed and highly favored. Hello, Mr. Simon.
Hello, how are you, Sandra?
I am truly blessed and highly favored and just waiting to hear all this wonderful, valuable information that you're bringing forth to us today.
Well, it's good to be with both of you ladies.
Thank you.
And we're certainly honored to have you with us. And I'd also like to mention we have a caller on the line from the 252 area code. Caller, where are you calling from? And your name, please.
Hi, my name is Anastasia Turchetta. I got this off of my BlackBerry line, and look what I found.
Well, you're here at the right time, so I hope you enjoyed the show. Hello?
Oh, I'm still here. I thought I was going to be at work. I had no idea that you could actually hear me.
Oh, yeah, we can definitely hear you. And we'll go ahead and start the segment, unless you have a comment that you'd like to make. Have you had a chance to read the book?
No, I have not, but I have had a chance to be in the presence of Simon, and he is just phenomenal. So I'm very excited to listen to the show today.
Well welcome
so
indeed.
Us.
Yes, welcome indeed. Shirley?
And so we're here to talk about his book, Release Your Brilliance, and a brilliant piece of work it is, Mr. Simon, I must say. My life has been transformed since reading that book. One of the things that I really appreciate about the book is that it really challenges me to look at my life from a whole different perspective. The questions that you pose, you know, which is all designed to get you to look at your life from a totally different perspective and discover all those different facets there are to our complex human nature.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed reading it. Thank you.
Well, I myself truly enjoyed the fact, Mr. Bailey, that you had references to diamonds And as you know, diamonds are a girl's best friend. And they are forever. And oddly enough, that is my birthstone. So I just connected immediately with the word diamond before I could even get through any of the material.
That's great.
Yes, indeed.
That's great.
And how did that come about for you? How did you come up with the concept to use a diamond?
Yeah, well, when I started writing the book, Release Your Brilliance, I was really processing my journey. And I was reading something online one day, and it talked about how a diamond was formed through heat, pressure, and change. And how many people listening to us right now who have gone through heat, pressure, and change, certainly within the last 18 months? And the more and more I begin to look at that and do just a little bit more closer study, I realized that the diamond is made up of four specific things: clarity, color, cut, and carat. Of course, I was in Jamaica not too long ago, and a lady told me, "You forgot the fifth C." And I said, "What's the fifth C?" She said, "Cost." I said, "You're right."
Indeed.
So ultimately, after the heat, the pressure, and the change that the diamond experiences, we all have to step up and pay the cost in life in order to release our brilliance.
Absolutely. And I'd also like to take a moment to welcome Color Healing Radio to the segment. He's joining us in the chat room. And I also like to make a special announcement. Mr. Bailey, we are going to give away a copy of your book.
Oh,
to
that's
the fifth
so
caller.
Kind. Thank you.
Actually, the third caller who calls in with a question to the show, and also the fifth question that we receive in the chat room that's read on the show, that person will get a copy of your book as well.
Awesome. Thank you.
My pleasure. So heat, pressure, and change, we all experience that at some point or another in our lives. And, you know, I guess the way we deal with those situations determine, and actually it has a tendency to either make or break us, make us into stronger, better human beings, or we tend to regress back into our old selves and deal with situations the old way.
That's correct. And once we know that we're ready to move to another level, it's really understanding how do we language the heat, pressure, and change as a positive, not a negative. Change is your friend, not your foe. Change is a brilliant opportunity to grow. So when we're going through the heat, when we're going through the pressure, when we're going through the change, it's how do we language it so that we can get through it? Because change, as it relates to releasing your brilliance, change doesn't happen to you. It moves through you. And when I allow it to move through me, then I begin to understand the process of the change and who I am becoming as I move towards an unfolding future.
Absolutely. Now, when you say how we language it, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, so we have often heard that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Well, words do hurt you. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So when things happen to us, we have to be mindful of the internal chatter in our head to make sure that we're not sabotaging the future that wants to emerge. And sometimes we can curse our future instead of bless our future. So in order to move into destiny, you have to bless your future by speaking or calling those things as not as though they are, speaking to where you want to go instead of what is. It's not denying what's happened. It's not denying that, you know what, it doesn't feel great, look great, or nor do I think great. But you know what? I choose to shift my energy and begin to speak in the direction of where I'm going instead of where I've been.
Absolutely. So do you think the speaking and the thinking, though, go hand in hand? Because you can't be thinking one thing and then speaking something else, or does your thought catch up with your words or vice versa?
Well, when I understand what is in my head, then I begin to realize that transformation is 1 inch from my nose. So I move from what is in my head to what comes out of my mouth. Transformation is 1 inch from your nose. Everything you speak is like a boomerang. You will see it again. But it first started as a thought in your mind's eye. So the moment it starts as a thought, I must begin to say, well, that's what I want. For instance, when you see a Corvette, your mind automatically is familiar with the Corvette. Now, if I say red Corvette, I just transferred an image to your mind, and those of you listening just got a picture of a red Corvette. Now, if I say, what type of car would you really like to have, you might say, I think I want a red Corvette, because I've planted a thought in your head, and then you repeated it out of your mouth. That's how quickly things move at lightning speed. Our minds are so fast. Our minds are sometimes faster than the speed of light. And so we have to understand that when my head, my heart, and my hands are in alignment internally, then I can begin to operate in congruency and speak in the direction that I want to go in.
Absolutely. Now, you said something in your book that I thought was interesting. You said you consider your book to be a transformational system.
Correct.
Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, when a butterfly goes through the transformation process, if their cocoon is restricted before its time, the fluid never fills its wings that enables the butterfly to actually soar. So in other words, it must go through the process. It must go through the transformation. Now, in moving into transformation, that means that the information that I have had at this season no longer serves where I'm going. So I have to begin to reach for a new level of understanding and a new level of information. As I embrace the information, I will begin to go through a change or through a process where I have to get rid of the old to make way for the new. That might mean there are things that I have been doing with my time that no longer serve where I'm trying to go. For instance, perhaps I need to cut back on my TV time. Perhaps I need to cut back on my hanging out time. Perhaps I need to study more. I need to read more. I need to spend more time with my loved ones. Whatever that is, we all know what we need to do. Everything you need to succeed is inside of you. So when you say yes to the transformation, that means you open yourself up to new information. And when you open yourself up to new information, you move literally from transformation to information to revelation, because revealed truth is revelation. Revealed truth invites me into a destiny that has been waiting for me to get there.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
And you alluded a little bit to one of the facets that you talk about in your book, which is to develop high-impact habits.
So the secret of your brilliance, and just so we ground everybody with the big idea, because we're talking about brilliant transformation, brilliance is your insight, it is your potential, it is your genius. So when you came to the earth, encoded in your DNA was your talent, your gift, your potential, your ability. And when you understand that talent, that gift, or that ability, then you begin to be very mindful of your habits, because the secret of your brilliance is hidden in your daily routine. Now, let's unpack that. All of us have 24 hours in a day. Every hour of the day should be seen as your employee, because in that hour, you are deploying your very best into that hour of the day. Sometimes we can desire broadband results, but we are using dial-up methods because we are using habits that are outdated or antiquated. So the whole world has shifted to broadband, but we're still dialing up, because it's a habit. So we've got to rewire our brain to begin to say, what habits do I have in my life that no longer serve the new transformation that I'm trying to experience? Do I need to read more? Do I need to study more? Do I need to get into a mastermind group? Do I need to get around people that have a different conversation that can raise my level of awareness? Now, let me give you an example. When you first, let's say, tasted filet mignon did not taste like the ground beef that you bought out of the grocery store. And once you acquired that taste for filet mignon, you're like, this is really good. This is a whole nother level of beef. All of a sudden, your taste buds developed a taste for something that was very rich and fine. So now you develop this habit that when you go out, if I can't afford it and I want to buy it, I am now developing a habit to taste something that I've never tasted before because it's so good, because ground beef just does not meet my desirable taste bud anymore. I've got to change my habit and say, I want the filet mignon. That's what I'm worth. Now, for a long time, I flew coach. But one time I got a chance to sit up in first class, and I'm like, I like this, but I had to get used to it. I didn't really develop the habit of understanding first class. Now I fly first class all the time, and it's a habit. When I go back to coach, I can go back to coach. I can handle it. I'm very humble because that's where I started. But I don't develop the habit of having coach mentality when I'm called to live a first class lifestyle.
Well, that was put brilliantly, I must say. I can totally identify with that, and I appreciate the way that you expressed it. It was really simply profound. Thank you very much.
Bless you.
And then you said something I thought was pretty profound also. You said every hour should be seen as your employer.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Everyone listening to us, you are the CEO of U Incorporated. In the future, you will be paid for innovation rather than duration. So when a corporation or a business hires you as a contractor, independent business person, or as an employee, they make a bet on you. Bet is an acronym that stands for they make a bet on your brilliance, your energy, and your time. Now, whenever Wall Street analyzes a stock, it issues a buy, hold, or sell. That buy, hold, or sell is issued based on where they think the industry is going, how they see the market shaping up to be, and those that are in that particular industry sector. Now, when you join an organization or a company decides to do business with you, you invest your stock in them. They, in payment for your brilliance, energy, and time, give you a paycheck of benefits, health insurance, yada, yada, yada. Now, the question is, how do I ensure that as the CEO of Me Incorporated, who is responsible for 8 to 10 to 12 hours a day or 40 hours a week, how do I deploy my very best self into that hour so that the company or the organization will continue to want to invest in me? And how do I become so necessary in that place of business that they can't do without me, because I've understood that my real brilliance and my real value beyond my talent is how I use my time. And how do I use the energy in the time, and how do I unleash and release my brilliance in the time that I'm given? So my two assets that I really have to be mindful of is my time and my energy, and that comes down to hours. So if, for instance, Bill Gates makes more in 1 minute than some people make in a year, because he understands his time value. Now he's in a process where he's giving all of his money away. Tiger Woods, who is the first athlete to pass $1 billion, he is worth more in his time now. So we understand that our brilliance and our worth long-term is tied to what we do with our time. So I have to be very mindful of my time. Now, when I become mindful of my time and I give myself to the transformation process, I realize that there is a difference between being effective and being busy. There's a number of people who are busy, but they're not effective. And mm-hmm. when I become very mindful of my time, I don't waste time with people that have a 5x7 dream when I'm called to live in a 30x40 reality.
That's so true. And that reminds me of something that you said in your book, that we have to be careful about the people who we have around us.
That's right.
Either they're going to multiply or add or divide your life. Mm-hmm. And we have to learn how to identify those people and which type of individuals that they are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And how important do you think that is, though?
It's absolutely important.
On the journey of transformation.
Yeah, whoever has your ear has your life. And as I said in the book, Release Your Brilliance, people are like elevators. They take you up and they take you down. Who are the people that are – your assets in your life. Who are the liabilities in your life? And even the liabilities, they can be our family members. How do we manage those liabilities so that they do not diminish our worth? How do we handle those liabilities and love them into their brilliance? How do we forgive those liabilities and help them to become all that they possibly can be while we really discover who we need to be? So whoever has your ear has your life. And sometimes you have a ton of people in your life who mean well, but they speak to you based on how they see you and based on where they are. And sometimes people can handcuff their destiny to somebody who is stuck in the past and who does not have an eye for the future. And when you have an eye for the future, you realize that the future is created in the present, and every single day I am buying the future. So here's the big idea. The future is for sale. It's cheap. Buy it right now, because when you arrive into the future, you call it today, and everything and every person, what they said to you yesterday, meets you in today and says, welcome, we've been waiting for you.
Whether it's good or bad.
Really?
To accept that into your spirit at some point, and, you know, whatever they say into your life, you can either accept it or reject it if it's not helping to transform you into the person that you're supposed to be.
Right. If what a person says is not in alignment with what you know in your spirit, you reject it. But here's the flip side. Sometimes I need you to speak against me and speak down to me and literally speak opposite of what I'm saying, because it only stirs up my faith to believe in where I'm going. So I need you sometimes to reject me. I need you sometimes to curse me. I need you sometimes to work against me, because you're only helping me bring out the brilliance already in me. So I
absolutely
need you to, I need that antagonistic behavior in my life. I need that crisis in my life. I need that person who is almost like a thorn in my flesh, because they're only pushing me towards greatness.
Absolutely, because we can't always have the cheerleaders on the side
telling us what
we want to hear.
No, I need the rejection. I really need the rejection. I need those people who have been called and have been appointed to work against me, because it only makes me pray. It only makes me pray harder, and it continues to
absolutely
help me smile more and realize I'm closer than I think.
Well, I have a question there.
The Color Healing Radio in the chat room is making some interesting comments about some of the things that you're saying. She's having a great time.
Oh, how wonderful.
Saying that this is exactly what I need to hear today. Thank you, Simon.
I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you have family members that you need to subtract and divide, how do you handle that situation without acquiring some type of guilt from subtracting yourself from your family members?
We love our people, don't we? We love them. They're good souls. We do. We love them. Here's the thing. We have to understand that everybody is on a journey. And if we were to use a car as an analogy, we have passengers in our vehicle who mean well, but we cannot let them get behind our inner steering wheel. So what we have to do is we have to determine which exit do we pull off and invite the passengers in the vehicle of our mind to get out. And if getting out of the car is not necessarily an option, how do we begin to tolerate and understand where they are and love them for where they are, not condemning them, trying to shut them down or to shut them out? But one of the things that I teach when I work with individuals who I ask them, I say, is there anybody in your life that you can't stand? I say, is there anybody? I mean, they just absolutely get under your skin. Or they may have moments of opportunity when you wonder what planet are they from. I said, okay, here's how to handle it. And here's a very practical tip for everyone that's listening to us right now. Don't miss this. You have to see their brilliance. And when I say see their brilliance, seeing their brilliance is not about changing them. It's about changing how you see them and how you choose to see them. So here's what you do. I want you to think of three positive, brilliant things about them. And I know that might be a stretch for people listening to us right now, because that can be like your fingernails going down the chalkboard, okay? But stick with me. What are three positive attributes about this person? In fact, let's call them, oh, brilliant one. And when you choose to come up with those positive attributes, you choose to change how you see them. When you choose to change how you see them, you are also deciding how you will talk about them and how you will talk to them. Because now you will begin, if you stay consistent, to see them through the lens of love. So I love you to life. I love you to brilliance. Even though you have cubic zirconian thinking right now, I choose to love you into your brilliance. Now, you may never get there, but I'm not going to let you change me. I'm going to change how I see you. And when I change how I see you, hopefully what I am doing will impact you and you will flip your own script.
Perfect.
And isn't that what it's about, though, us radiating the brilliance inside of us? Because we can't change anybody by trying to point out their flaws.
Right.
It's about us being the best that we can be and making that transformation. And by them seeing that, it's like, okay, we have to be an example, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
We have a caller on the line from the 901 area code. Caller, where are you calling from, and do you have a question or a comment you'd like to make? Caller from the 901 area code. Okay, well, we'll continue. So you write also that people settle for who they are instead of striving for who they were meant to be, that people were born to be originals but die copies.
Mm-hmm.
That is so profound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, what really challenges me at this season is that the future is for sale, but many individuals have accepted where the world is as wondering if the world is ever going to shift, if things are ever going to get better, if things are ever going to change. And the reality is you are your own bailout plan. You are your own stimulus plan. And when you recognize that, you determine how to create your future instead of letting it be created for you. Now, let me use a biblical example to drive this point home. Peter, as we know, the story goes, hears that Jesus is walking on the water and actually sees Jesus walking on the water. And he says, according to scriptures, Master, if it be thou, bid me come. And the master says, come. Peter steps out on one word, come. That coming was a moving to his future. He was moving towards what he saw before him. He was literally in the present, but he was moving towards his future. Now, I'm not so much concerned about Peter walking on water. What does concern me are the guys who stayed in the boat and didn't go and follow him. So what happens is many times your future is waiting for you to call to it, but there are people in your life who have developed boat mentality and don't want you to rock the boat and say, stay in the boat with us, stay where we are, because if you get out and walk on water, you're going to leave us hanging. So the point in case from Peter's story is sometimes you got to walk in the opposite direction of what people are saying to become who you were meant to be. Because there are a number of people who have woken up 30 years later and realized that over the last 30 years, they settled for a chair, a check, and a cup of coffee in a cubicle farm, and the rug has been pulled from under their feet, and they're like, what in the world happened? It's because somebody created a vision for them, and they decided to fulfill it. instead of saying, what is my destiny? What have I been born to do? What am I going to go after? And doggone it, if I've got to get out and walk on water, I'm going to do it.
Absolutely. You mentioned earlier about clarity, color, cut, and carrot, and you assigned definitions to that in your book. For instance, clarity is profound insight, and we should see clarity. Color is pure belief.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
And to be your authentic self. Do you want to elaborate on those?
Yeah, so when I talk about clarity, the greatest tragedy in life is not blindness. The greatest tragedy in life is to have sight but no vision. So when I come to clarity, I get my vision back because I begin to envision where I want to go, and I no longer give myself to the vision that may be happening internally. Now, when I talk about color and I talk about pure belief, our belief creates our behavior. Our behavior creates results. The prefix for belief and behavior is to be. So when I understand how to be, then I know what to do. When I know what to do, I know where I want to go. When I know what I want to go, I know why I do what I do, because my beingness is creating my future in my present.
Mm. And so for the cut, to take bold actions?
Mm-hmm. So I have to think about, no one is going to do it for me. I have to get up off my blessed assurance and do it for myself. And I have to take personal responsibility because the reality is, let me put it to you this way. The reality is every experience that you have had up until this point, a good friend of mine often says, Willie Jolly often says, a setback is a setup for a comeback. So when I embrace the experiences, the cut of the diamond, the heat, the pressure, the edge, the crisis, the when I thought everything was going to work out and my life went in the opposite direction, when I embrace those things, when I embrace where I am, I can create where I'm going. When I embrace where I am, who I am, what I am, I can create where I'm going and why I want to go there.
Do you think most people get stuck at that stage, though?
I think they do because it's foreign. It's new. Sometimes people can be on a merry-go-round. Sometimes people can have good intentions. But good intentions are very nice, very sweet, and very special. You've got to move. You have to. I mean, if people listening to us right now, if they don't get anything else out of the book Release Your Brilliance, here are just two words I want them to get. Do something. Just do something. Create some momentum. Start moving, because it is until you begin to move, you will not discover what awaits you. But the moment you move, there is an unfolding order in the universe where a whole series of actions begin to correspond with just a slight movement. So that's why the hurricane in Florida can impact the weather in Japan, because there is a movement in the universe.
And then the carrot, how big do, well, I personalize this. I'm like, how big do I want to be? So whatever you said, you in the book, I personalized it. It was talking to me.
And when you think about how big you want to be, what are the steps? How do I put one foot in front of the other every day consistently? A little becomes a lot over a long period of time. So how do I begin to develop my belief and my hope in the future by getting out of the bed in the morning, putting one foot on the ground, walking, putting one foot in front of the other each and every day in every action?
Because you believe that everybody has a universal assignment.
I believe everybody has an assignment if they will pay attention to discovering it. Now, I'm often challenged when people say, oh, what about the person who's born with Down syndrome, or what about the person that's born retarded, or what about, you know, people who are locked in a sane asylum? You know, what's their universal assignment? Well, I have discovered that sometimes in life you are dealt things that you have no control over, but sometimes in the midst of what might seem dark might turn out to be a switch on for the person who's called to serve people who don't have all of the faculties of their mind. So the whole universal assignment is being open to saying, who is the one someone that I am called to impact? What am I supposed to do? So many people think that they're supposed to have their picture on the cover of magazines and to be written up in the New York Times and to be on the Today Show or whatever. And those things are great. It's great to aspire to those things. But what if they never happen? Will you still be okay with where you are?
Absolutely. And I'd like to take a moment to thank a couple of more people who joined us in the chat room, Energy One and Molly Rain. Thank you so much for tuning into the show today. You're absolutely right about that. And, you know, it's just phenomenal because we do have, I think personally, that we're put on this earth for divine assignment. And one of the things that you said in your book, that it's about how you shine and illuminate the lives of other people.
That's right. Absolutely. I am living my universal assignment right now as I talk to you and talk to all your listeners, is because I aspire to inspire 10% of the almost 6 billion people on the planet to find their passion and to release their brilliance. And I want to do this before I expire. So I am living my universal assignment right now. So even as I talk to you, the reason there is a flow to our conversation is because I'm in the moment and I'm where I'm supposed to be. And when I'm where I'm supposed to be, everything flows effortless. It oozes, because this is where I am and that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be serving everyone that's listening to us.
Wonderful. And also, I was reading on page 32 there, where you say that the Greek philosopher Aristotle said that where your talents and the needs of the world cross, therein lies your vocation. Well, perhaps if we don't know our talents, what would we do then? How would we go about finding what is truly our talents?
So, question number one, what makes you come alive? Question number two, what would you do if no one paid you to do it? Question number three, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Question number four, what makes your hair blow in the wind? What makes your heart skip a beat? What is it that so touches you, you're like, wow? For instance, when you look at the life of Michael Jackson, from the time he was a little boy, everyone who witnessed him knew that his core talent was music, and he tapped into that, and now he is deceased, but more money will be made now that he's gone, because he touched so many people over 40 or four decades.
I see.
He tapped into his talent, and he just maximized what he had. What do you love?
What do I love? Good question. Actually, I love freedom, the joy of getting up, doing what I desire to do every day when I desire to do it. I love interior designing. I love nature.
Okay.
Those sorts of things.
So then how do you take that designing and how do you take that love of nature and how do you, in your own way, become your own Martha Stewart or Barbara? You know, B. Smith. You know, how do you become your own B. Smith?
There you go. Yes.
Where you are, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Awesome.
Well, I'm sure I could.
We have a caller from the 901 area code.
Sure.
Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Hi, my name is Lanice, and I'm calling from Memphis.
Hi, Lanice.
Thank you for joining in the spirit.
Hi. So, are you taking questions or?
Yes, comments, questions. I have Mr. Simon Bailey on the line. If you want to speak directly to him, please feel free to. This is your moment.
Okay, are they readings or what?
I'm sorry?
Are you doing psychic readings?
No, we're just having a conversation. Some of the context is from his book. It's just a general discussion.
Okay, well, I'll just listen in.
Hello? Okay, well, thank you for doing that.
Okay, all right.
So, Simon, let me ask you this question. Do you think that people, for the most part, tend to be followers rather than leaders? And what would you attribute that to?
I think most people are followers because it's easier to follow rather than to lead. Of course, I would not follow anybody that didn't have some scars on their back. Real leadership, you're going to have scars on your back, and you're going to have some wounds because you're going to take some shots. So it's easier to follow than to get out in front and blaze a trail, because who really wants to be, who really wants to lead and receive all the negative backlash that comes with it? So it's safer. It's safer. It is more comfortable to follow. And so by nature, most people follow. They may have the propensity and the potential to lead, but they succumb to being told what to do instead of saying, this is what I will do.
Well, we just gave away one copy of your book, Simon, to one of the people in the chat room, Color Healing Radio.
Okay.
Congratulations.
You will get a free copy of your book. Congratulations.
And also tell people if they want to order our book, they can go to Amazon.com and just punch in Release Your Brilliance. They can get the book that way. And if they want more information, they can go to SimonTBailey.com, sign up for my newsletter, as well as follow me on Facebook, Simon T. Bailey on Facebook, and on Twitter, I'm Brilliant Tweet on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'd like to ask you, Mr. Bailey. Wonderful. Where is your institute?
I had to get that in there.
You did. Where is your Brilliance Institute?
Brilliance Institute is virtual. I'm based in Florida, but I do Brilliant Institute sessions all over the world. Just got back from London, and I will be hosting a Brilliance Institute retreat in Costa Rica on November the 20th through the 22nd. And if people want more information, they can go to Unretreat, U-N, Unretreat, R-E-T-R-E-A-T, 09.com. And that's all the information that's listed there. And it will be just 2 days of me unplugged, taking people through Brilliance Institute material to really help people as we come to the close of this decade and move into a new decade, which is really going to be the decade of brilliance. How do you do it? So, yeah, they can go to unretreat09.com.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm looking forward to checking that out, definitely. We want to take a break right now, Simon, and give you a moment to refresh yourself.
Okay.
And come back in about, maybe you want to get some water or something to Sandra you as well. Call in a 21252 area code. Would you like to make a comment before we take a break?
Oh, hello, I'm sorry, I was on mute, so I just want to know I've enjoyed this. This is what I needed to hear today, so thank you.
Okay, hang in there. We're going to take a break right now, and I have a sponsor commercial break. So we'll be back in about 3 minutes.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is William D. Burton. Some people call me Reverend William D. Burton. I have encountered a company that has paid out to people working from home approximately $600,000 in the last 8 weeks. Let me repeat that so that you understand that I am not making a mistake in my statements. $600,000 in the last 8 weeks to people working from home. Now let me backtrack and tell you a little about who I am. I'm a marketeer. I love marketing things over the internet. But as you have probably discovered on your own, 90% to 95% of the stuff that is about you making money over the internet turns out to be garbage. Well, I have a former police chief who does the background checking for me, etc. I am now in a company that police chief recommended to me. I am now in a company that a judge recommended to a friend of mine, which has a price point of $27 startup to begin your home-based business. Now I'm going to give you the website. The website is www.2, that's the number 2, plus, that's the word plus, P-L-U-S, spelled out, 7, that's the number 7, .com, with the / ARK, A-R-K, and the number 1. I will say that again. That's www.2plus7.com / ARK 1. Now, we have a program that's selling a benefit package that costs $27, and when you market the benefit package to others, the company will pay you 50% commission. Now, I repeat, that 50% commission has paid out over $600,000 in the last 8 weeks. Now, when I first entered into the conference call of 2 plus 7, there were 800 people on the call, and I later found out there were 60 countries represented on the call. So please be sure and contact us at area code 919-954-1915 after you have seen our fabulous website. That's 919-954-1915. Thank you again. My name is Reverend William D. Burton.
Okay, back to the show. In one of your chapters, I believe it's the one on Pique Your Curiosity, You talk about the different degrees of intelligence, which I thought this was just phenomenal, the 8 types of intelligence. People have I know that people learn, some people are audio learners and some people are visual learners, but this, the way that you have this outlined, the different types of intelligence, it's just phenomenal. Can you talk about that for a minute? You have the linguistic, the logical, mathematic, reasoning, the spatial, the kinetic, the musical, interpersonal, intrapersonal, and the naturalist.
Yeah, so probably the easiest way for me to explain the 8 different intelligences is to give you examples. When you look at Oprah Winfrey took her gift of a talk show and surrounded herself with a brilliant team, attorney, and because of her mastering her gift in linguistic intelligence and a team around her to see the opportunity for the future, she is now the icon and is only known by her first name, Oprah. Because when you just say Oprah, everybody gets it. It's because she tapped into her gift, she tapped into her talent, and she leveraged it. Now, if you know about Oprah, you also realize that for her, it's not about money, it's about making a difference. So she has taken her linguistic intelligence, she's cultivated it, and because it has now attracted energy, money comes from energy, and she now gives it away and puts it out to the universe, and it continues to chase her down and jump in her pocket because she's leveraged her linguistic intelligence. When you think about musical intelligence, you think about Quincy Jones. You think about Barbara Streisand. You think, and the list goes on. They have the ability to come up with music that touches generations, that speaks to generations. That is their natural born gift. That is their talent. That is their ability. That is the thing. That's their universal assignment. And when they do it, it just flows for them. It's very natural. Now, if you try to put someone who does not have musical intelligence, sometimes they can frustrate themselves because not everybody was meant to be an American Idol. And when you get over that phenomenon and realize, you know what, I may not make it to Hollywood. Perhaps I'm not supposed to be behind the mic. Perhaps I'm supposed to be producing the record, or I'm supposed to be signing the check, or I'm supposed to be building the marketing around what I love. So many times people get lost in, I've got to stand behind the mic in order to get known. Well, the people who really make the mic, make the money in the music industry are the people who write the songs, because they just wrote it, but they get a check, but they never sung it. You follow me? And then when you think about mathematical intelligence, if you look at any of the great software companies out in Silicon Valley, Northern California, you have many computer software programmers who are mathematical geniuses because of the algorithms. And you look at what the folks of Google have done and everything, they're operating in mathematical intelligence. That's their universal assignment. That's why they're here. And when they focus on that, then the world beats a path to their door. So they start with little. Little means two guys in a garage with three computers doing 10,000 searches a day. That's 11 years ago. 11 years later, they have built a company all of because of mathematical intelligence. They leveraged what they had, and they worked their talent and gift.
How would a person know where they would fall under either one of these eight categories?
And I should expand. Dr. Howard Gardner, who is really the person who introduced the world to the eight multiple intelligences, and he's actually expanded it. It's about 11 now, 11 to 15 that he's identified. It goes back to what I originally said, and so let me make a couple of statements to kind of get us on the path as it relates to this particular question. Number one, you were never created to work a job. You were created to find your life's work. And when you find your life's work, you release your brilliance. A job is what you are paid to do. Release your brilliance is what you are made to do. And when I understand the power of those two statements, then I have to look at I have to look at my life, and I have to answer four questions. Question number one, where have I been? Where have I been speaks to what's my educational background? What's my work background? What is it that I have acquired for the time that I've been here on Earth? Not material things, but as it relates to skills. What's my acquisition of skills, okay? Ability. What was I hired to do, or what am I currently doing? Then, when I understand where I've been, the next question I have to say, I have to answer is, why am I here? So, for all the time that I've been here on Earth, why am I taking up space in my little corner of the universe? Why am I here? Then, question number three is, what can I do? So, if I know where I've been, skills, I know why I'm here, because there's a lot of people walking around where the lights are on but nobody's at home. It's like dead people working, okay? So, when I answer the third question, what can I do, I'm really trying to tap into, if I've been doing something that is not fulfilling, how do I shift and begin to find that thing that I was meant to do? And then the fourth question.
And that's where I am at. That's the point I am at my life right now.
And that's a very important stage. And it's very powerful, because when you start to say, what can I do, you're now getting to the core. And you're going to throw a lot of paint against the wall. You're going to have a lot of conversations as you drive your car, or you're just somewhere. You're going to have a lot of thinking time, and you got to write. You got to write and think and talk. You got to get it all out on paper, and you got to say, okay, where are we trying to go? What are we trying to do? And then the fourth question is, where am I going? Because you can't get to where am I going until you know what you can do. It's kind of like a person that gets in a car and sets out for a journey but doesn't have a map. They just say, I'm going to get out and drive. And there's a lot of people driving, but there's no direction.
Mm-hmm. And so to point number three, what can I do? A lot of people determine that based on number one, where have I been? What am I up to this point, educationally, work-wise, or whatever, and try to use that and say, well, I've done this all my life. That's what I'm passionate about. So that's what my calling must be in. That's what my gift must be in. Mm-hmm. But that's not always the case, though.
It's not.
And I'm finding that not to be the case with me as I make this transition, because all of those things that I've done up to this point is not what I want to continue doing.
Okay. So then you have to really begin to think about, if I'm at question number three, what does that mean for me? What do I need to shift to and move towards now?
And I'm starting to head in that direction.
Good.
Doing what I'm doing on this internet radio show is part of that.
Good.
I'm trying to explore the creative side of me and get away from the administrative side, the side that everybody expects me to be, because that's what they've known about me. You know, Shirley the administrator, I do the grant writing, I set up nonprofit organizations and all that stuff. All that's well and good. I've done that, but that's not what I want to continue to do for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm passionate about the radio thing. I'm passionate about some of the other things that I'm doing. And I find that people have a hard time accepting me in this new role with this new attitude.
Sure.
But I keep going nevertheless. I'm going to keep doing me.
Good.
And so and thank you for that detailed explanation about the different degrees of intelligence. That is just so phenomenal, you know, to hear it articulated to that degree. And again, I think a lot of that goes back to clarity, getting clear on what you want, getting your thoughts and your beliefs and everything in line so that you can move into the direction that you need to head.
That's it.
Sandra, did you want to add anything?
I'm just enjoying the conversation so much. I'm absorbing everything that he's saying because I can feel that everything that he is saying is just right now just precious to my life as far as me making this transition. I'm still pondering at the moment my talents, and I know that, you know, what you're saying is correct, and I can feel it in my soul that any moment now I'm just going to open my eyes and say, oh, one of those aha moments is going to hit me any second now. And I just think that's magnificent that you can explain it to us in that manner. And all the wonderful listeners, I can say I'm sure that they're having just as much fulfillment and enjoyment as I am at this moment. Now, as for your children, now I believe you have two children.
I do. I have a son and a daughter, a 10-year-old son and a 7-year-old daughter.
And are you training them? I'm sure that you are. I know that question sounds just totally absurd, but are you training them at the age they are now, or do you think later on is a better time, or how would you work that?
Well, there's no time like the present because their minds are like sponges right now at this age where they soak up everything, and everything is very precious and new to them because they don't have any filters. They don't know that they can't do something. They don't become conditioned like adults, that the older they get, they don't try to take risk. So it's implementing, and they have a series of affirmations that they say every day that reaffirms their brilliance. And I have them say it because it's not so much what my wife and I say to them, it's what they say and what they believe. So even at this age, these affirmations are to build self-esteem, to build self-concept, to build self-worth. And so that's why I have them say it in the morning before they head to school and before they go to bed at night.
Magnificent. So you would recommend at the age that, one, that they start this training to
the
some
moment,
degree?
You know what, actually, I wish I would have started it sooner.
Oh,
I wish I would have started as soon as they started talking. Because I think even as they grow older, they are going to have an edge on many young people because of the power of language. We live in a word universe. Everything in the world functions because of language. That's understood. And when people understand how to upgrade their verbal software, they might not be the sharpest cookie in the bunch, but they can speak and talk to anybody and get into any door because they have mastered the language of presenting themselves to the world.
Correct. Wonderful.
I have a comment from one of the guests in the chat room, and she's saying, thank you so much for the inspiration, Simon. You rock.
You rock!
Absolutely, absolutely. And so one of the facets, you have change your world. Mm-hmm. I love this quote by John Maxwell. When you empower people, you're not influencing just them. You're influencing all the people they influence.
That's right. That's right. And the whole part behind that is every single day we're rubbing off on someone. Someone is following us somewhere. Where are we leading them?
And so the crown facets, there are 2, 4, 6, 8 of them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are different components in our lives that we need to work on polishing. You
mm-hmm.
have the spiritual, family, career, emotional, mental, wellness, social, and financial.
Mm-hmm.
You
want to
elaborate a little more on that?
Yeah, so we invest energy, back to what I said earlier, we invest brilliance, energy, and time in all of these core areas of our lives, and it's really determining how we use those areas, how we use our time, how we use the energy that we have. Sometimes people have energy leaks, and they have energy leaks because they don't know how to say no. And it's the word balance when it comes to real living and real brilliance. There is no such thing as balance. You have to understand, how do I integrate into my life all of the areas of my life, the social, with the financial, with the spiritual, with the educational, with the emotional, with the wellness? How do I just figure it out and make it work? And it's also rediscovering your power to say no. Sometimes people are yes people to a fault because they have the need to be needed. But when you release the need to be needed, you get your life back.
So the saying yes you said was them feeling the need to be needed?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and it's understanding how to say no. Because you don't have to be needed by everyone. It's nice to help out and to do this, but sometimes you can become a crutch for people, and there's sometimes you need to close the adult daycare center and enable people to make decisions on their own and not have to run to you and burn up your time and energy trying to fix them.
Indeed,
absolutely.
I have a
and
friend,
I was just
exactly.
thinking that when you were saying that, because there can be an energy drain on you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they seem now I do have a friend like that, and apparently, or seemingly, she's not aware, or she is aware, and it's constant all day and all night, and she does this yes thing to the point that she's totally exhausted at the end of the day. So how are we to let her know that you don't know how to say no? Just come out and tell her you don't
just
know how to say no.
It's called say no. Say no to drugs, you just say no.
Perfect. I shall get to that.
Well, I'm learning to do that more and more and more every day. Because, like I said, your life can get so involved in other people's stuff that you rarely have time for yourself. And I work on a job 40 hours a week, very stressful, very intense position, and when I get home, I need time to unwind and then start focusing on me and what I need to transform my life and get right on my journey and balance my life, because it's a balancing act.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 40 mm-hmm. hours, 8 hours a day on a job is a long chunk of my life that I'm giving to this organization. Yes, I'm being the best that I can be while I'm there,
But then I have to take care of me in the process of doing that. And I'm sure a lot of people face that, you know, going to jobs, whether you like the job or don't like the job, but you are there for 8 hours a day. Mm. And when you're on your journey trying to transform your life, with me, I'm finding the struggle is, you know, how do I deal with who I want to be in the midst of the stuff that I have to deal with at work every day, on the job every day, the different personalities. And I'm trying to find that common ground.
Well, the one thing, as I've said, everything you need to succeed is inside of you, and it's understanding how to stay the course.
Stay the course. Well, I'm definitely determined to do that. And like you said, you know, people are put in our lives for different reasons, you know, and I look at those challenges as either going to make me, well, it's going to make me stronger because it's definitely not going to subtract from who I am. And give me more resources when I have to deal with those type of people. Another facet that you talked about in your book is to ignite your intuition.
And igniting your intuition is understanding 80% of your nervous system is in your gut. So you have a sense or a knowing about something. How do you pay attention to that and give leeway to that to trust yourself when you have to make a decision? Now, you'll have all the facts, the figures, the data, you know, what everybody else is saying. But when all is said and done, what do you sense in your gut? You got to trust your gut to a point. And because your gut knows, that's your intuitive intelligence. And the more and more you use it and pay attention to it, the more skilled and comfortable you get making a gut decision. Even after you have, you know, reviewed the data and the information, you'll probably end up making a very intelligent decision, taking into account all the factors.
I'd like to take a moment to give out the call-in number. If you'd like to call in to speak directly with Mr. Simon T. Bailey, the number is 646-716-5180. Sandra, did you have anything that you wanted to add?
No, I would just want, well, yes, I would just like to thank Mr. Bailey immensely for his time and the use of his magnificent energy and brilliance.
You're welcome.
At this time today, I just know that everything that you have said has impacted my life thoroughly, and I intend to just saturate my mind with the thoughts that you have presented to us today and integrate everything that you have said as well into my daily living, and I intend to be the 203 carat diamond that they pulled from, I believe, where was it they pulled it from? The Congo? I intend to be the 203 carat diamond, and I will have you to thank for that.
Well, it's my pleasure. Tell people to go to Amazon.com to get the book, Release Your Brilliance. They can go to SimonTBailey.com to sign up for our e-newsletter or our blog. They can follow me on Facebook at Simon T. Bailey and Twitter, Brilliant Tweet. And also come to Costa Rica for unretreat09.com.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to add that this just isn't a book to pick up and read, because you give us homework assignments in this book.
That's right.
Polishing, that's homework. So all of this is working together. So you just can't read the book and without doing the assignments, the diamond polishing assignments in this book, and it's only going to help us or you be the best person that you can be. And then the living a living diamond, all the real life stories in this book, I mean, it's just so phenomenal, you know, the transformation that people have made as a result of being under your tutelage, either via the book or being at seminars or workshops that you conduct. And I am so curious to hear from caller 252. Are you still on the line? Are you still listening?
Yes,
I think she had mentioned earlier that she had attended some of your workshops or something.
I heard her. She's there.
I am here. I was on mute. I'm sorry. I had just placed myself off.
Okay. Well, talk to us about some of your experiences and what you have gained out of your participating in some of the events that you participated at, that you attended, that Simon conducted.
Simon has an energy that he has an ability to foresee what you have in you. So when he was talking about Oprah and the gift, he literally has that ability to help you plan out or form a strategy, if you will, or an assignment. And then he places that in an easy to do, so it's not overwhelming. You're not fire hosed with all this information. He makes it easy to do versus I can't do. He makes it I can do and I will do.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. And so then you have this facet that talks about create spiritual wealth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the things I learned when I was with Dr. Stephen Covey a number of years ago is we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We're spirit beings having a human experience. And when we understand that, we recognize that there's not enough money in the universe to pay us what we're worth. So thus, we have to discover our spiritual wealth because we're spirit beings. And when I discover my spirit wealth, I begin to live from the inside out, and I understand the combination to the vault that is inside of me. And when I understand that the vault of destiny is inside of me, I don't chase money. Money chases me because of what I carry. And when you understand what you carry, you become very comfortable in the skin you're in.
Absolutely. And you had given an interesting story, if I'm not mistaken, earlier in the book. You talked about your experience at a hotel. And I think somebody had offered you a position, but you didn't feel worthy enough to accept the position.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day when you were just started and struggling and going through some of the stuff that a lot of us go through today before
mm-hmm.
you reach this this mindset that you're at now.
Mm-hmm.
What was the turning point for you then?
I think the turning point was realizing that it's not who you are that holds you back. It's who you think you're not that holds you back. And sometimes people focus their time and energy on who they think they're not, thus sabotaging themselves and eating themselves from within, the energy, the positive energy from within, instead of focusing on who they really are. And the shift for me was changing the conversation inside my head to focus on who I really was. I am brilliant. I am okay. Every day and every way, I am getting better and better. And really meaning that and doing it step by step. You know, teaspoon by teaspoon, little becomes a lot every single day. And every single day, you know, has turned out to be, you know, 15, 20 years later that I've just been able to develop this mindset and really come into it. And so now I've got to teach it to others so that they, too, can quiet the gremlins of brilliance inside their head so that they can move towards their destiny. So the switch and the shift for me and my journey was realizing that I have everything I need right now, and I need to just start where I'm at with what I have and stop selling myself short, because every time I sell myself short, I'm selling my future instead of buying it. And the more I sell my future, when I get into the present, my present is now expensive because I didn't buy my future when it was cheap. And so I'm buying my future by my thinking, by my actions, by my believing right now. Because when I get into the present, I am now older. And if I haven't built up equity in my journey, I have nothing to cash in or to tap into.
Mm-hmm. But it's never too late, though, for a person who's starting on their journey now.
No, never too late.
They are.
Just start.
Yeah.
Just start.
Exactly. That's the key, just to get started. And you also had some mentors to help you along the way, because you mentioned Mark Sharon, a dynamic speaker. I had a chance to hear him when he came to Durham to talk at a church here. I think it was last year or the year before last. And he was one of your strongest advocates
if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, everyone needs a mentor who has the ability to speak into their life and to unlock what is lying dormant in them, because they can see what's there, but it needs a little polish. And so he has become a brilliant dear to me, and I am forever grateful and appreciative for him in my life. And it's kind of like when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. So it's always being open to who are the mentors that have the ability to take you to the next level, because a person can never take you to a place that they have never been themselves. If people are trying to take you to a place and they haven't been themselves, they're only giving you secondhand information because they don't know themselves.
Mm-hmm. Do you think sometimes people have a tendency to look up to the wrong type of people?
I think they do. I think they do because people spend a lot of time comparing themselves to other people. And when you get out of the when you start comparing yourself, you develop what I call is the comparison inferiority complex. I compare where you are and where I am, and if I'm not measuring up to where you are, I now have a complex. And the only reason that complex came about is because I compared. I don't have to compare. I can be happy where I'm at.
One of the things that you say in your book also is that you recommend diversifying your personal, your relationship portfolio by investing heavily in three different growth relationships,
mm-hmm.
and each in a different core area of your life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The purpose of that is to find people in your life that are not yes people, but people who bring something to the table that you currently don't have but need for who you will become in the process.
Sandra, did you have anything that you want to add?
Well, I also remember he said to, of course, to be mindful of your time and energy, and that would definitely include the people that are in your life. Since I seemingly call them energy vampires, and I completely concur with the fact that you definitely have to subtract these people. Now, as far as the family members, you said we love them, but we have to let them go. Now, and if they come back into your life, and you know they do occasionally, would you say that it would be to our advantage, of course, to let them know, to know uncertainty that they can't remain in your life, you know, because some people are persistent about being in your life, even though we are in control. They seemingly are persistent because they are family members.
Mm-hmm.
And rather than to hurt their feelings totally, I try to be kind.
Well, does being kind mean answering the phone every time they call or sending a voicemail?
Yes. You're correct. That could be
so,
the options.
Sometimes sending them to voicemail and not returning their call sends a subliminal message that I moved on or I don't want to be bothered.
Right. Yes.
Because when you answer, you've now enabled yourself and have enabled them to dump on you.
That's correct. That's correct. Yes, I found myself.
One of the things that you also talk about in your book is brilliant words motivate people to act, and lifeless words cause people to disengage and settle for mediocrity. And so
that
you
goes
have
back
these
to, yeah, that goes back to being mindful of the words that we use that comes out of our mouth,
mm-hmm.
ensuring
mm-hmm.
we upgrade our verbal software. Mm-hmm.
Right, absolutely. And I love the little chart that you have here on the life-draining language versus life-enhancing language.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have to learn how to speak a new language. You know,
mm-hmm.
some of the illustrations that you have here, I'm just dying to know,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to say, I would love to know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's a big contrast there.
Yes, I think most people have been conditioned to say that, seemingly, because my mother used to say that years ago, and seemingly I picked it up along the way. And having no idea in the beginning how damaging it was to speak like that, you know, I integrated it into my mind. Now, you know, of course, I can understand what you're saying exactly. You know, there's no need for us to even fill our thoughts with these negative vibrations and energy.
Right.
It can only help defeat what we're attaining and aspiring to be. And also, you said, he said that I saw one of your chapters said that we must become possibility thinkers. I love that.
Right, absolutely.
Shirley?
Were you saying something, Simon?
No.
Sounds like we kind of lost the connection. But that is so true, and I think sometimes we're so conditioned to speaking a certain word and saying certain phrases that it's deliberate. We have to deliberately catch ourselves and just change that thought and change the words that come out of our mouth. It has to be a deliberate action and not just say things off the cuff just because that's what we're used to saying, that's how we're used to talking, or you're around certain people who talk a certain way and say certain things.
I just would like to ask Mr. Bailey to tell us one more time, please, where your next seminar will be.
Okay, our next seminar will be November 20th through the 22nd in Costa Rica. It's called unretreat09.com, and it will be an opportunity for people to recharge, to rejuvenate, to reignite, and most importantly, close the chapter of this decade and create the new chapter of what I am calling the decade of brilliance that is going to really help people think about experiencing Releasing Your Brilliance 2.0. And they can go to our website, Simon T. Bailey, if they want to sign up for any of our information, and certainly follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and even LinkedIn. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank
you
for having me. It's good to be here today.
One other question that's in the chat room. This lady is asking, how would you react to a sibling who is still competing with you?
Tell the sibling that you don't exist in their life to compete against them. You exist to complete them. And if they will allow you, you can complete them by understanding, listening, loving, affirming, confirming who they are. But the more they compete, they diminish their long-term worth and value.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you so much for that. And that is going to do it for our show today. I'd like to give you, Mr. Bailey, the closing words for the listening audience today.
Well, just remember, everything you need to succeed is inside of you. And you weren't born to work a job. You were born to release your brilliance. And when you release your brilliance, you will never work a day in your life because you discover that brilliance is a process, not an event. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And when you discover to release your brilliance, you help and give others the permission to shine and to be brilliant as well.
Thank you so much for those brilliant words. And if you'd like to give out your contact information one more time.
Yes, simontbailey.com. They can also get our book, Release Your Brilliance, at amazon.com. And they can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And go and visit unretreat09.com.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We really enjoyed having you on the show today.
Well, it's good to be with you, ladies.
Have a brilliant day, and I know you
Thank
will.
You. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my goodness. That is going to do it. So I think I lost my co-host also. Oh, my goodness. Okay, well, oh, my goodness. I am still trying to come down from this episode. That is going to do it. I am your host, Shirley. Thank you all for joining and participating in the chat room today. Thank you, Dominique. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to ask your call. Guest 1329, thank you for joining in the spirit today. You guys go be brilliant and do get a copy of the book, Release Your Brilliance by Simon T. Bailey. I am your host, Shirley, and that will do it for today's show.